There we go. All right, contact. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 again. We're going to keep going with what we started last week. Last week we started preaching on love, godly love. What is godly love? I made the comment, a preacher had been preaching at his church on love. And as he'd been preaching on love, he's preaching on hell. He'd been preaching on hell. And he'd preached for a good month on hell. And one of his deacons came to him and said, "Preacher, everybody in the church is saved and you just keep a preaching on hell." He said, "Can't you preach on love?" And so the preacher came back, and for the next month or so of Sundays, he was preaching on love your neighbor as yourself and love God first and everybody else last, and men, love your wives and leave everybody else's alone, and everything like that. And by the end of a month of that, that deacon came back and said, "Preacher, just go back to preaching on hell. We can't handle that love stuff." And the reason is because when you start looking into what godly love is not this kind of love that they're portraying out there in Hollywood and all these places where they try to help you. They're trying to help you, see. That's what they want to do. Say, "Oh, we're just trying to help you." No, you're not. You're trying to bring attention to you. You're trying to lift up yourself. And you're trying to make something that was intended to be surrounded and centered around God, around man. And that's exactly what man wants. He wants God's love and God's affection that He had for His children, which is what? That He died on a cross for their sin, to be then turned around and center-focused on man, and how man thinks and how man feels and what man thinks is. And He makes man the measure of all things. And, of course, anybody that knows anything about the Word of God knows that man is not the measure of anything. If anything, if you try to measure yourself up beside another man, you're going to find real quick you come out smelling like a rose just about all the time. We can always compare ourselves to each other and we're going to come out looking okay. But the fact of the matter is, when you measure yourself up against the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you realize that Romans 3:23 and 3:10 are in the Bible and they are true. He says, "There's none righteous, no, not one, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And as Ecclesiastes says, the preacher in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, he said, "Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity." Isaiah said, "All of my righteousness are as filthy rags." And until a man gets that in mind, he's not going to be able to understand what true godly love is. Godly love doesn't have anything to do with you. Godly love is a opposition of self. It's all about Him. It's never about you. Now, what follows and what we got into last week, we covered the first three verses of the chapter. And what follows now in verse 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 is going to be 16 characteristics of godly love. Now, we're only going to get through probably verse 4 because there's about 5 characteristics in there that we're going to try to cover tonight. But what you find is that whenever you go to studying these things, 16 characteristics of godly love, 7 of them are positive and 9 of them are negative. Just like the commandments. The commandments are 75% negative. More often than not, you look at a commandment, it says, "Thou shalt not," rather than "Thou shalt." It's always "Thou shalt not." Because the Word of God and the truth of God and the Gospel of God are not always positive. Sometimes they're negative. Now, here's what we're going to get into. Number 1, verse 4, he says, "Charity," and we're going to read the verse, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity vaunteth not, or charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up." So number 1, he tells you the first thing is charity suffereth long. Now this is one that some people have trouble with, but this isn't just suffering for a long period of time for the Lord. That's not what this is talking about. What he's talking about is sometimes this means you putting up with something for a long period without complaining about it. That's something we have a hard time doing. We have a hard time at times, and y'all have to excuse me. When she gets sick, I get sick. Right now, my stomach's trying to do the flip-flops too. Help me, Lord. But what follows here is the thought process of when you have to put up with something that you don't want to have to put up with, you do it without complaining. That's long-suffering. People think because they have to endure something for an elongated period of time that's called long-suffering. No, long-suffering is you doing it with the right frame of mind and the right heart. What is that? Don't complain. I mean, you think about that. Long-suffering, in fact, another word that you could put in there to describe what long-suffering is patience. You put patience in there. In fact, if you go over to Galatians chapter 5, where we were for a little bit this morning, what you're going to read is you're going to read about the nine fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And you're going to get over here and you're going to read about one of the fruits of the Spirit being long-suffering. If I can get my hands to work, there it is. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And the fourth one is long-suffering. Long-suffering is a part of the process of spiritual growth. See, a person wants to have this fruit to show when they get before God. At least I hope you do. You know, it ought to be in the heart of every single Christian that whenever we get to the judgment seat of Christ, they have something to show for the time that He allowed them to stay here and to be on the earth. Now, unfortunately, people don't live with the mindset of the next step being the judgment seat of Christ. They live in the mindset of, well, what am I going to do to accomplish this that I want to do today, and the next day, and the day after that, and the day after that? No, you need to live in light of the fact that before long, maybe today, you could be standing in the presence of the Almighty God, getting ready to give an account of yourself to Him. That's what you've got to keep in mind. Charity suffereth long and is kind, because charity is a fruit of the Spirit. It's imperative that you have long suffering in order to have spiritual growth. Real quick, come over if you would to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, I'm looking at verses 5, going down to verse 9. I believe that's right. Yeah. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. He said, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance," now there it is, "and to temperance patience." That's long-suffering. Temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. All of these things that you add to yourself as far as the fruits of the Spirit, and one of them happening to be charity suffereth long, it's long suffering. All of this is about helping you to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to where you can attain to charity. Charity is not something you just turn on and it starts happening. Charity is something you have to learn to do. It's not something like, like prayer. Prayer is not something that you just bow your head and you start praying and all of a sudden you have a prayer life. No, the disciples had prayers that they did before Jesus Christ showed up, but when they spent some time with Him, heard how He prayed to His Father, they came to Him after He finished praying one day and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." You see, prayer is something you have to learn to do, just like faith is something you have to build upon. It's the same thing with charity. Charity is not something you just all of a sudden start doing. You just all of a sudden start loving and start being charitable. No, charity is something you have to attain to, and it takes you putting out fruits of the Spirit so that you can attain to this. I mean, you just wake up one day and somebody that you can't stand to look at, you think, "I'm going to try to be nicer to them today." Oh, well, hey, look, I'm being charitable. Charity suffereth long. No, that's not what that is. This is something that has to be attained to. Go ahead as you're on your way back to 1 Corinthians and just catch Ephesians. Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and look in the first two verses. Now this is Paul, one of his prison epistles. He tells you in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore," he said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." What does that mean? That means, brother and sister, if God loves you enough to put up with your foolishness as long as He has and does, then you ought to love the brothers and sisters enough to deal with some of them. Now that doesn't just mean the saved alone. That means the saved and the lost. You realize as a child of God or surrounded amongst a bunch of lost people, and you people know exactly what I'm talking about, when you're trying to live a consecrated life, doing what's right, and there's a lost person or even a saved person who's out of the will of God or not saved, they're doing their dead level best, being used of the devil to get under your skin and detour you from the walk that you're trying to stay in and live in to where you can be profitable and have a good fellowship with Jesus Christ and a good relationship with Him. But yet, what do they do? Paul says, I would rather you with all lowliness, meekness, and long-suffering forbear one another in love. Why? Because long-suffering is a part of charity. We mentioned last week, you can love, or you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Same aspect. Long-suffering, that takes a lot of love for you to be willing to have somebody doing the things that they do that absolutely drive you up the wall, and you still say, you know what, I love them, or even tell them, I love you, even though I don't like you. Now that's a thing. You read David over there said God liked me, that He made me king over Israel. And I preached a message here one time about that. God likes me. Well, that's I'm glad. I want Him to like me. Say, oh, well, that ain't nothing. He loves me. Yeah, but does He like you? He loves you because you're His child. You belong to Him. There's no parent in here that has got a child, regardless of what spiritual state they're in, that they don't love them. Right? I mean, Bible says no man at any time has ever hated his own flesh. And He likens that to his wife, but it's also his children. There ain't no man that's ever had a young'un that, regardless of the spiritual state that young'un was in, never stopped loving them. And that's the state that you and I are supposed to be in toward the ones that are bought and paid for just like we are. And even if they haven't received that payment, they were still died for just like you were. And to keep in mind and to let that be what drives you to say, you know what, I may not like this and I may not appreciate this or appreciate what's going on, but I still love them and I'm still going to pray for them and ask God to, either if they're lost, save them, or if they're saved, encourage them to get closer to Him. What is that? That's long suffering. That's long suffering. But that's not the only thing He said. See, come on back over there to 1 Corinthians. Don't lose Galatians 5. We'll be going back there again here in just a little bit. But then He says, charity suffereth long, and then charity is kind. It's kind. You were just in Ephesians 4. Go ahead and grab that again. I'm sorry. That's the one I meant to tell you. I meant to tell you Ephesians 4. I'm sorry. But Ephesians 4, and you look in verse 32, it's the last verse of that chapter. Ephesians 4, 32, look at what He says. He says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Now, there's something that all of us could use every once in a while as a good softening of the heart. Sometimes we get just a little too calloused and just a little too cold towards the heartbreak and the needs of the people that are around us because we get so infatuated with what's going on in our own little circle, we forget that there are other people around us that need that too. So be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Boy, now that one's one you've just about got to choke out, because that's one of the things that's the hardest to do. Especially in this part of the country. Now, I ain't saying people around here are worse than anywhere else, but you ever, and anybody that's lived around here for any amount of time knows how tight-knit families can be and how so easily one can be offended from another one. And there's only one reason for that, and if you study the Word of God, you know what it is. Called pride. The Bible says only by pride cometh only. Not no, this could be it. It was their fault. It was this one's fault. No. Only by pride cometh contention. Whereas here he tells you that charity suffereth long and is kind, and then he tells you, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Why? The end of the verse gives you the answer. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You ever just thought about that for just a minute? You ever just really backed up and thought about the fact of why God loves you and why He forgave you? He didn't forgive you for you. You ever thought about that? So He forgave me because He loved me. No. You were separated from the commonwealth of Israel, out of fellowship, lost without hope and without God in this world. That's what you were. You know the only reason God the Father loves you and has anything to do with you is because of His Son. That's what it says. Even as God, for Christ's sake, not for your sake, for Christ's sake, His Son, for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Without Him, there would be no you and God. Without Him being the mediator, being the advocate, being the go-between, the one who, I can't remember exactly where it is, I think it was in Ezekiel where the Bible says, the Lord said, I sought for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, and I found none. That's what Jesus Christ had to come and do for us. Amen. He had to come and do what? Be charitable. Charity is giving. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Charity is giving, and it means that He loved you enough that for His own Son's sake, let Him come down here and be killed and beaten by the very people He came to die for, and then turn around and say, I still love them, Father. If they'll be accepted of Me, can they be accepted of You? And He said, for Your sake, I'll accept them. I can't. I tell you what, boy, that's something that I just can't get my mind around. The fact that I've got an advocate with the Father, and it's Jesus Christ, and without Him, I have no advocate. I have no advocate. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 6, and I'll read this to you real quick. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but I'm in Luke chapter 6. If you want to go, and in Luke chapter 6, verses 35 and 36, here's what the Bible says. And this is Jesus Christ. And He tells them, He says, and this is in mind of that charity is kind. He says, love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. What about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ tells you and me to extend mercy like we're somebody that's worth showing mercy? I mean, mercy is something I would expect from Him. But for the fact that He tells me that I should show mercy to someone else, to me it's like extending the grace. What is that? The fact that the Lord wants me to show grace to people, and I'm not as willing to show grace to them as He is to me. I say, Lord, how much grace am I supposed to show them? He said, no more than I showed you. Don't show them any more than I showed you. Lord, that's a lot. Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot. If I'm willing to be kind to you and put up with what you do, and I'm willing to be long-suffering with you and put up with you, you ought to be able to put up with a few things. Amen. You ought to be able, through the love that He's put in your heart, to care enough about a lost soul to not worry about what they do to you, but pray they get out of hell. Quit worrying about what's going on in this flesh, what's going on in this world, and give it to God and hope they get born again. Amen. Pray for them. That's what He says. He said, pray for them. Love your enemies and do good. And here He said, lend, hoping not to get it again. And then He said, and your reward shall be great. But that shouldn't be your motive. Well, I'm loving them and I'm showing mercy and I'm being gracious so that I can get a reward. Well, then your motive is out of whack. You're supposed to do it because He did it to you. And He gave it to you. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Your motive shouldn't be the reward. Matthew chapter 5, he tells you something else. Verses 43 and 44 of Matthew chapter 5, here's what he tells you. He said, "Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." My Savior hung on the cross of Calvary, and His prayer was, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And brother and sister, the world and the people that are in the world don't know what they're doing. They don't know. Say, they've got every bit of knowledge they know. They don't know what you know. They don't know what you know about the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, how to show mercy, how to show grace. They don't know that stuff. And if you don't show it to them, you just as well to damn their soul to hell.
Amen.
So you didn't preach this hard this morning because this is what's important.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Everybody wants to talk about love. Get the right kind. Quit worrying about this junk that Hollywood's are putting out. Get the right kind of love. No greater love hath this than a man lay down his life for his friends.
Amen.
Charity is kind. Don't just love them. Pray for them. Pray for them. And then he says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. You know what it is? Charity is a people relationship from person to person, not from person to something inanimate. What are you talking about? How many of you spend more time with that than with a real person? How many people spend more time with this than you do talking to somebody that's worth an actual conversation? So you getting on that again? I'll get on it. I tell you what, you quit and I'll quit.
Amen.
You quit, I'll quit. So you want me to completely put that? That ain't what I'm saying. I'm telling you, the Bible says that charity envieth not. Say, what's that got to do with envy? Oh, well, let's look on Facebook and see if anybody liked my picture. I updated my profile photo. How many thumbs up did I get? And if I got a thumbs down, man, we're going to have a problem. Me and this person that gave me a thumbs down are going to have a conversation about why they didn't like my picture. I want to share something with you. And somebody may not like this, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. This is a interview that was done with a man whose name is Sean Parker. Does anybody know who that is? Sean Parker is the co-founder and creator of Facebook. He is a multi-billionaire because of that website. Let me tell you what Mr. Sean Parker said about the website that he no longer has a part of anymore. Facebook, during the interview, was said to be the social network that was built to exploit vulnerabilities in human psychology. Sean Parker, the founding president of the company, told the interviewers that the premise of the social media site, which is a social validation feedback loop, is exactly the kind of thing that a hacker like myself would come up with. Oh, so it's something that somebody illegal would do. Okay. A like or a comment or a post sends users a little dopamine hit. That's your mind that thing is tapping into when you see somebody that liked your photo or tagged you in something, and it releases dopamine in your brain that lifts you up and says, somebody mentioned me. Somebody noticed me. That's what dopamine is. He said that this was an encouraging thing. He said, It's all about, this is what they say, it's all about the people. He said, they don't understand and they have no conscious, they have nothing, they are unconscientious about this, and quote, we did it anyway. A man said, we did it anyway. This man said, according to the transcripts that were given, this man said, I have never been involved. This is another man that he was talking to. He said, I've never been involved in any kind of social media and don't ever plan to. This man, Sean Parker, with all of the other men that were with him, told this gentleman, we will get you eventually. I don't know if I really understood the consequences of what I was saying, because the unintended consequences of a network, when it grows to 1 billion or 2 billion people, it literally changes your relationship with society and with each other. It probably interferes with productivity in weird ways. Quote, God only knows what it's doing to our children's brains. Somebody can like me for that. Anybody want to be my friend? Amen. See, I got an amen. There's one. See, now my dopamine levels are just, somebody noticed me. What's this got to do with anything? Charity envieth not. Charity, godly love, don't care about what's going on there. Godly charity is more concerned about the relationship with Jesus Christ. You know why we can't get nobody to come out here and be a part of service much anymore? We have no social life. That's why it's called social media. We've cut ourselves off from the world. Everybody lives a fantasized existence. How many of you have got pictures on there that you've posted? Now, I don't want hands, and I ain't trying to beat you because of this. I'm just telling you. Based on the parameters of this book and something that goes against it, I've got to tell you the truth. Amen. And I'm telling you right now. Do you put a picture on there of you first thing in the morning when you wake up? Because that's the real you. No, what do? We doll up and fix the hair and fix the makeup, and then we sit there in front of the mirror and give one of them... Yeah. And that's what they'll do. Let me take a selfie. You know what? I actually thought about doing it one time just to see who'd get upset about it and say, you know what? Everybody get close right here and turn around right there like that and take a shot of me from the back. Hey, we're taking a church selfie. Ain't that just ridiculous? Amen. See, it sounds ridiculous when you say it. It ain't no different when you do it. Charity envieth not. Envy is listed as one of the works of the flesh in Ephesians or in Galatians chapter 5. Envy is one of the things. What does it do? What does envy do? Prohibits growth. Do you know, and it wasn't in that. I read several different accounts of that interview that that guy did. And you know one of the other things that he said was, he said, when we marketed this website, we tried to come up with an idea that was going to occupy the majority of the time people spend during the day so they wouldn't have time for anything else. That's what he said. It's like a fix. No, it ain't a needle, and no, it ain't an alcoholic beverage, but it's just as bad as a drug because it takes you away from God.
Amen.
If we spend as much time in the book as we do on Facebook, my God, we might have a bunch of scholars in here.
Yeah.
Charity envy, if not, envy is the result of self-glorification. How do you know that? Because where I was over there just a minute ago in Galatians chapter 5, he tells you in verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. When we get more desirous about what people think about us and envying their approval, then what do you do? Be not desirous of vainglory. What will that cause you to do? He says, provoke one another. You'll start provoking each other. And then you'll start envying one another. Then it'll become a contest. Who can one-up this one? And who can one-up this one? And who can one-up this one? And that's what it'll become. I'll move on. Charity suffereth long as kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. What does it do? Well, it seeks the benefit of others. You're right there in 1 Corinthians. Just back up to chapter 10. It's just a page. Maybe two. Chapter 10, verse 24. He says, let no man seek his own, but another man. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Now, that don't mean you see somebody with a lot more than you and you go steal from him. No, what that means is don't seek to better yourself when there's somebody else that you could do that for. I heard, I think it was Brother Ralph Sexton one time, and he said he was talking about depression. And I know that that's a very real thing. And I know there's some people that get so caught up by it that they've got to medically be put on medication so they can take care of it. And I don't put that down and belittle that in any way, form, or fashion. I've got members of my own family who have had to go through that. And I dare not even so much as try to make the comment of, well, if they just trust God. If somebody's willing to say that, you better just watch yourself. God may put you in that situation to see how much you'll trust Him. Amen. What he says is, but what Brother Ralph, I believe it was, what he said was, he's talking about stuff like that. He said, when you get in situations like that where you seem like you can't get out of this hole that you're in, the best way for you to take care of that is go find somebody that's in worse shape than you are and pray for them. Go find somebody that's in worse shape than you and pray for them. Or for that matter, just go find somebody else that's got a problem and pray for them. And tell them, hey, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. Charity vaunteth not itself. That word vaunt, it means to be lifted up. In John 12:32, Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Charity vaunteth not itself. It don't lift itself up. If you love God like every Christian should, that love will overcome all these other things of self. And lastly, I'll say this and I'll quit. It says, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It's not puffed up. Back over again in Matthew in chapter 6. I'll read this to you real quick. In Matthew chapter 6 in verse 2, here's what the Bible says. He tells you, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Charity's not puffed up. It doesn't broadcast. You know what he tells you there in verse 2? He says that the hypocrites do that. The hypocrites. You ever looked at that word? Hypocrite? When you're anybody who has any knowledge of the medical field or anything like that, if somebody has a problem that's hypo, and the difference of the, and the opposite of that is hyper. Hyper meaning you have an excess of this. Hypo meaning you have a deficiency. Right? Hypo. And the word is hypocrite. So the last part of that being critic. You're a hypocritic. What does that mean? It means you are not willing to criticize yourself, but you're so much quicker to criticize somebody else. A hypocrite is somebody who will look at the faults of someone else before they look at their own. That's why the Lord put in the Word of God, before you try to help pull the log out of, or the splinter out of somebody else's eye, get the log out of your own. Because you can't see to get the splinter out of somebody else's eye when there's a beam in yours. What is that? Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It's not puffed up, but it looks at what everyone else does. And then this is, and then the last thing, again, you're there in 1 Corinthians 12. If you back up to verse to chapter 8, and I'll close with this. Chapter 8 and the first three verses. Here's what he tells you. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we have all knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. But what does charity do? Edifieth. If a man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if a man love God, the same is known of him. Knowledge puffeth up. Charity edifieth. And if a man loves God, then the love that God has for that Son of His, Jesus Christ, is then imparted to the one that loves Him. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. When charity is done in humility, now that's what he's talking about. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. What he's talking about is, he's talking about you've got to be humble. When charity is done in humility, it's going to do a couple of things. Number one, it's going to edify the saints. Now, Paul gives you a whole list there about edification. Now, that's the whole point of that. Number one, it edifies the saints. Anybody that's trying to live right and do right, it's going to help them and lift them up, encourage them. But number two, and this is where it sometimes gets hard, it's going to convict the sinners. You just as well to get ready for some opposition, because when you're trying to do right and show this charity the way God intended it to be shown, you better be careful and watch out, because there's going to be opposition. Because the sinners are not going to be able to stand it. And they're going to come and they're going to try to make a problem for you. What? They're going to try to shut you down and make you quit. Because what you're doing is putting them under conviction. Say, what do I do? Keep doing it. Amen. Say, but I'm tired of getting walked on. Bless God, they walked on Him.
Yeah. Amen.
Say, I'm not a doormat. It might not do you no, it might not do you a heart to get walked on a little bit every once in a while. Now, I ain't saying lay down and let somebody just kick you over and over and over. But bless God, if He was willing to go to Calvary and lay down and let them spit and walk on Him, just lay down every once in a while. And just let them step on you. Let them spit on you. And have enough grace to pray, God, forgive them. Even the first martyr in the Bible, Stephen, as he was being stoned, prayed and said, Father, forgive them. just like Jesus Christ did. Lay not this sin to their charge. Boy, it takes charity to do that. It takes charity to do that when you're thinking about the fact that I can't stand this person and how they are, but I love their soul. I told you last week, this whole business about hate the sin but love the sinner, that don't work. You cannot hate the sin and love the sinner. You've got to love their soul. Because the soul is not what sins. The flesh is what sins. And you can't love the sin of the flesh. But you can love the soul that's trapped inside. And you pray and ask God to save them. And on the day that He does, He'll cut that soul loose from that flesh. And there'll be something different. There'll be something different about them. Charity done in humility edifies the saints, but it will convict the sinners. But the last thing and the most important thing is it will glorify the Savior.
Amen.
Which ought to be the forefront focus of every one of our minds. God, is me going through this for a little while going to bring You honor and glory? He says it is if you're willing to stick it out. I encourage you, if you're here tonight, if you wasn't able to be here, I know some folks are here tonight, wasn't able to be here this morning, go to the church's website and download the message from this morning. Get that message on testing. Say, is it because you preached? No, it ain't because I preached it. It's because it goes along with tonight. It went along with Sunday school this morning. Daniel, he had an opportunity. He could have thrown a fit, jumped up and down, screamed and yelled all about his rights and why they were going to kill him and the Hebrew boys with the soothsayers and all the magicians. Daniel didn't get carried away and he didn't get bent out of shape. He cautiously, with counsel and wisdom, told the captain of the guard, "If you'll tell the king to give me a little time." And then he turned around, went and got his buddies that was just like him and believed like he did, and off they went to the house and got down and prayed. And God came through with the answer. And just like I preached this morning on Noah in that ark, sending those two birds out, one of them a raven and one of them a dove, the raven never came back because he was an unclean bird. He fluttered around out there just like a lost person will that won't come to God. But that dove, three times got sent out. Two of the three came back. Once because they didn't find what they were looking for. Second time to come back and say thank you. And the third time they didn't come back because they went out to do what God told them to. That was be fruitful.
Amen.
You're going to be tested. And when you're tested, you need to remember, charity suffereth long. It's kind. It envieth not. Vaunteth not itself. And it is not puffed up. Paul said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." I've got a message that God has put on my heart. And I ain't got to preach it yet. I don't know when I'm going to get to preach it. I wish He'd let me preach it because I really like it. It spoke volumes to me. But it's on shields. And you won't know the kind of shield you're carrying until something or someone comes along and they knock on it. In the Old Testament, Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, lost the golden shields that his dad had put in the temple. And without anybody knowing about it, he replaced them with bronze shields, hoping that nobody would notice. You know the only way somebody will notice, if you've swapped a bronze shield or you swapped a gold shield for a bronze one, the Holy Ghost of God is going to walk by at the day of testing and He's going to knock on your shield. And He's going to see what kind of sound it makes.
The question then becomes, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That's godly love. It's not about me. It's my love towards you, but not because of you, because of Him. It's my love towards you, and you, and you, and her, and them, and these here, and him, and her, and him. It's not because of me, and it's not because of you. It's because of Him.
Amen.
That's godly love. I don't love Him because of who He is and what He does. I love Him because of Him. Amen. Let's bow our heads for just a minute. Mandy, if you will, come on. I don't think she can come. If you'll come for just a minute. Last week or two, I've just kind of felt like some of these messages on Sunday nights have needed an invitation. I don't know if they do or not, but I don't want to rob somebody of an opportunity if they need it. But if you're here tonight and Lord spoke to your heart and you need to come, while we wait, just come on. Charity. It's long-suffering and it's kind. Even when the rest of them, even when the world or anybody else ain't being kind, it still is. He's willing to put up with all the foolishness out of us that He is. And we can't put up with the foolishness, and we can't put up with the foolishness of other people. It suffers long, and then it's kind. It loves when there's no motive. You know, it's easy to love somebody when they love you back. What's hard is to love them when they can't stand you. Or to love them when all they do is throw it back in your face. That's hard. But He said, charity is kind. Man. Christ really was the model for us. I've been thinking about what we've been going over here, and whenever I do, the more I think about it, the more I'm drawn to Philippians chapter 2, where it said that He came, made Himself of no reputation, but He took on Him the form of a servant. And He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why? Because charity suffereth long and is kind. And charity envieth not. It vaunteth not itself. And it is not puffed up. It's humble. It is humble. A heart with charity will break before it hardens. It'll break before it hardens. You know something I got to learn? And I say, how long ago? About a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. You know what I got to learn? I got to learn that I could know everything I do about the Word of God. And if I didn't have some wisdom to go with that, it wasn't doing me no good. I had a situation come up, and man, you talk about just getting furious. I was absolutely livid. Ready to go. Man, I was ready to go to war, man. Somebody stepped in and hurt some people that I love. You know what the Lord made me do? Bite my tongue, go home,
get on my knees and pray for them. You know what He showed me? He took me over to Proverbs. He said, now look at this. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. I said, yes, sir. He said, that's knowledge. Knowledge will say, it's okay for me to be angry as long as I don't do nothing wrong. He said, but listen here, son. This is wisdom. And he took me over to the other passage and it said, but anger resteth in the bosom of fools. He said, now what kind of fool are you going to be? Are you going to be the kind of fool that by the foolishness of preaching men are saved? Is that the kind of fool you're going to be? Or are you going to be the kind of fool that is going to hinder somebody from coming? Charity. All right, I appreciate your attention. I hope God's blessed you today. It's been a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. There's been